Welcome. John Barron is with us today. He's the president of the Coalition for Evidence-Based Policy, a nonpartisan nonprofit in Washington, D.C. A recent report by the Coalition is titled Rigorous Program Evaluations on a Budget, and we'll examine the highlights of that report today. John, welcome.
Andy, thanks for having me. A pleasure to be here.
Your report argues that low-cost, randomized control trials are possible in many areas of social policy, and you give a number of real-life recent examples to demonstrate that. Tell us more, in your words, what the main message of the report is.
Well-conducted randomized control trials are widely considered the strongest method of evaluating programs and strategies in many different fields. But there's a widespread misconception that they are inherently too costly and too administratively burdensome to be practical in most program settings. What this brief seeks to do with examples from different program areas is to show that in many instances, you can conduct large, credible, randomized evaluations at low or modest cost and minimal administrative burden and produce a credible answer. These are examples of studies across different program areas that cost between $50,000 and $300,000, yet produced credible, policy-important findings.
So, John, I want to give a bit of context to public managers and agency leaders who may be less familiar with program evaluation. With randomized control trials, RCTs as they're called, you have a program group and a control group, and people are randomly assigned to each group. And that method of evaluation can produce very credible estimates of whether a program is effective or not, or which of various approaches within a program is most effective. We usually think of evaluation like that as requiring a lot of primary data collection, and that can be costly. Your report reminds us that program leaders, teamed up with researchers, can use data that's already being collected by programs. We call that administrative data, and take that data and run low-cost random assignment evaluations. And I think a key point is that if you can lower the cost of evaluation, you can test a lot more things. You can speed up the process of learning what works.
That's exactly right. The idea is if you can embed low-cost, rigorous evaluations into many different strategies, you can dramatically increase the number of strategies that are tested rigorously in order to more rapidly grow the subset that are shown to be effective. In the words of Thomas Watson, who built IBM, if you want to increase your success, double your failure rate.
Okay, let's run through a few examples that you describe in your report, starting with New York City's Teacher Incentive Program. The city provided a set of low-performing schools with an annual bonus if they increased student achievement, and those bonuses were distributed to teachers, about $3,000 per teacher. Tell us what New York City did to learn if this program was effective.
They were approached by an economist, Roland Fryer, at Harvard, who said, why don't you embed a randomized controlled trial in it? And he said it would not be costly or burdensome. New York realized that they didn't have enough money in the program. It's a $75 million program, but they didn't have enough money to provide performance pay to every low-performing school in New York. So what they did was a lottery. Actually, Roland Fryer did the lottery of approximately 400 schools. 200 were lotteried, in other words, randomly assigned into a treatment group. They got the performance pay. 200 were randomly assigned to a control group that did not get the performance pay. And then all outcomes were measured over a three-year period using administrative data, student test scores, graduation rates, and so on, that New York City was collecting already for other purposes.
And tell us about the findings.
The result was definitive. It was that there was no difference after 3 years in any of the measured student educational outcomes, test scores, graduation rates, and so on. That was a definitive result because it was a large sample and a well-implemented randomized controlled trial. New York City therefore ended the program based on those results and could reallocate its funding toward other more promising alternatives.
Yeah. And John, tell us about the cost of the study.
Well, it was a large investment of $75 million in the program itself, but the adding on the evaluation only cost $50,000 from start to finish, despite the fact that it was a very large sample, tens of thousands of children, 400 schools, three-year follow-up. It produced that answer at very low cost.
Yeah, because they were harnessing New York City education data that was already being produced.
That's right. And the other piece of that is that they were able, and this is the other part of a low-cost randomized controlled trial, they were able to bake a lottery, in other words, random assignment, into the design of the program as it was going forward.
Another example you cite is a community-wide intervention called Triple P. It stands for Positive Parenting Program. It's a system of parenting interventions for families with young children that aims to strengthen parenting skills and prevent child maltreatment. What was the evaluation approach?
The researchers, Ron Prinz at the University of South Carolina, was the lead researcher. He had a grant from CDC, but only enough money to implement Triple P in 9 counties. So they took a sample of 18 and then randomly assigned them to either implement the program countywide or to a control group that did not. They implemented services as usual.
So the findings 2 years after random assignment included a 25% reduction in the rate of substantiated child maltreatment compared to the control counties, and a 33% reduction in the rate of out-of-home placements. What were the factors that enabled these researchers to do a low-cost evaluation, and what was the final cost?
South Carolina has a very good data system, so they measured outcomes all using South Carolina administrative data. We're talking about a study that has a sample of hundreds of thousands of children. If you had had to collect that data individually, this would have been a study clearly in the millions, maybe the tens of millions of dollars. But because all of the outcomes were measured with administrative data, the cost of data collection was very, very small. Cost of the full evaluation over 3 years was between $225,000 and $300,000. It was a very important result, just to qualify it. It was a valid finding, a well-conducted study, but it only had a sample of 18 counties. So for this to be in the strong evidence category, you would really like to have a replication in another setting to confirm its effectiveness. A low-cost randomized controlled trial would allow you to do that replication at modest cost.
A final example I wanted to highlight is a criminal justice example from Hawaii. It's the Hawaii Opportunity Probation and Enforcement Program, or HOPE. It's a supervision program for drug-involved probationers that provides swift and certain sanctions for probation violations. And you can read more of the details of the program in the report. John, to preview the findings for our listeners, the impact evaluation of HOPE showed that in the one-year follow-up period, participants were 55% less likely to be arrested compared to the control group. So tell us about the methods that were used in the impact evaluation.
They randomly assigned 493 probationers to either a treatment group that participated in HOPE and got this intervention, or to a control group that got probation as usual. And then they measured outcomes over a one-year follow-up period using criminal arrest rates and reincarceration rates that were measured with official data rather than through original data collection.
And tell us about the cost of the evaluation.
The cost was about $150,000 doing the evaluation. And this was a case, in talking with the researchers, where you didn't have particularly good administrative data. A lot of the data had to be cleaned. In other words, you had to figure out which person in the treatment or control group it was actually reflected in the data. You had to match them. So that added some to the study cost, about $50,000. But this was a case where a low-cost trial was done even where the administrative data was not perfect.
One of your points, I know, is that low-cost randomized control trials can be a complement to more traditional impact evaluations that involve a lot of primary data collection, a complement or maybe a precursor, one could say.
Yes, that low-cost randomized controlled trials can be an important complement to more traditional randomized controlled trials, more comprehensive trials, as part of a larger research agenda. HOPE is a very good example of that. There was this credible finding in Hawaii, a single site, in a low-cost randomized controlled trial. Based on that result, the National Institute of Justice launched a multi-site randomized controlled trial in a number of different jurisdictions to try to replicate the result and also build more comprehensive information about implementation challenges and so on, you know, stronger information about whether the program works and how to replicate it more effectively.
You can learn more about the programs and the evaluations we discussed today, as well as two other examples that we didn't get to, in the report by the Coalition for Evidence-Based Policy, and I'll post that link to the blog. John, thanks for being with us, and thanks to you and the Coalition for useful insights.
Thank you, Andy. Thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure to do it.